Wow, well, I am so honored to be here today. Y'all can sit down, I think. Yeah. I am so honored to be here. My friend Taffy, I grew up with Taffy. Where are you at, Taffy? Oh, there she is. Yes. And yesterday when I got to the hotel, I just sat down on the bed and I said, Taffy, how did I get here? I'm like, you know, wow, the Father's just taking me so many different places. And I'm just like, he's orchestrating this beautiful plan to bring me to places. I'll tell you, I have four children, and I have four grandbabies. Yes. And my oldest son is 29 years old. I have a 27-year-old son, and then I have a 22-year-old girl and a 17-year-old girl. And I've been teaching Bible study for over 20 years. And mostly it's just been in my hometown, and I asked the Father, I said, you know, Father, my ministry is my babies. My ministry is my home. And I need you to, because I have this passion within me to tell the world about the goodness and grace and the love of Jesus and our Father. I mean, I grew up in church my whole life and didn't understand how much I was loved. And so I have this passion within me, but I also have, you know, I'm a mama. I dreamed my whole life to be a mama, you know? And so I asked the Father a long time ago, I said, Father, just help me to keep this all in balance and, you know, stay home until my babies get grown and not be gone too much and everything. Well, my baby is going to be 18 years old this year. So I'm like, whoo, the world is out there. Here comes Connie Witter. I've had people ask me over the years, it's like, where have you been all my life? I said, I've been raising my babies all your life. But I'm ready. I'm like, Father, you're just going to take me everywhere, you know? We're going to be going to Thailand in February of next year. And I know that's been invited to South Africa and India. Just met a minister from India who's over a bunch of churches. And he said, Connie, I want you to come and teach my people. Because he was at a conference I was at this year. So it just seems like the Father is just opening doors after doors. And it's so funny because my mom, you know, when we grow up, she has like, just stay safe in the United States of America. Don't go anywhere outside. I said, I am free from fear. I'm going all over the world with this gospel. So anyways, I am happy to be here. I'm happy to see all your beautiful faces. And I have a good word for you this morning. I'm just going to share just a little bit. I've been in a ministry, started because of Jesus Ministries. Like I told you, I've been teaching Bible studies for over 20 years. But started because of Jesus Ministries about 10 years ago. And I'm on TV. If anybody has DirecTV, every Wednesday morning at 8:30 a.m., if you have DirecTV, it's nationwide. So check that out. Love going into the prisons. I mean, one of the most powerful, anointed times I've had is to go into the prisons, because those women in there, they are covered with shame, covered with fear of what people think and judgment of others. And I just go in there and just tell them how much of a treasure and how valuable and how wonderful they are and how the Father sees them, you know. And I just got to tell you this real quick story, and then I will get into my message. I will keep the last time I went into the prison, oh my goodness, I was teaching about the women at the well. And my message was about how Jesus had freed us from the fear, or from the shame of our past, and from the fear of our future. And I was talking about how when Jesus, this woman who was covered with shame, she came out in the heat of the day to get her water where nobody else came, because she was worried about what everybody else thought of her, and she was covered with shame. And then she had an encounter with love. She had an encounter with perfect love. And when I was studying this story, the Holy Spirit told me, Connie, I want you to go and find out what the word woman means. Because when Jesus addressed that woman at the well, he used the word woman. And for some reason, I had skipped over that for years reading that story. And the Holy Spirit said, go look that up. And what I discovered when I went and looked it up is it was the same, first of all, is the very same word that he addressed his mother with. Wow, the very exact same word he used to honor and respect his mother. Then when I looked at the meaning of it, it's a term of endearment. It's a term of respect. It's when you say this word in Greek, it actually means I honor you. I have a high opinion of you. I respect you. Now, this woman was not respected. Do you understand what I'm saying? She was judged. She was said she was bad. The people around her thought she was a bad person. She'd been divorced 5 times and she was living with a man. And Jesus looked at her face and said, You are dear to my heart. I highly respect you. I have a good opinion of you. I value you. You are worthy of love. And he was imparting identity. She knew when he said woman that he was respecting her. No one had ever respected her before. I'm telling this to these people, the women in the prisons, right? And I told him, I said, when that woman saw Jesus, and you know what Jesus did? He asked her to be his bride. He said, I have living water for you. I have living water for you where you could get your identity no longer from what the world thinks of you, no matter from what you think of you, but what I say about you. I have living water. And that woman, she drank that living water, didn't she? And her life was transformed in a moment. And that woman who was covered with shame and fear, she ran to the city. She ran to all those people that she was afraid of what they thought about her. All those people that she'd been hiding and covered in shame by. And she said, you got to see this man. You got to come see this man. He knows everything about me. And he said I was worthy of love. He said I was treasured and valuable. He said he had a high opinion of me. You got to come see this man because he has the same high opinion of you. Amen. And when I was sharing that in the prison, I'm telling you what, you know, you all are sitting there going, Those women, they jumped up out of their seat, onto their feet, never heard such good news in all their life. They started waving their hand going, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank. I mean, they had me running from one end of the thing to the other end of the thing. You know, I was just like, oh my goodness, they were free. Jesus set them free. They were no longer underneath the shame of what they had done in the past. They were no longer afraid of their future. They heard that Jesus said they were without fault. They were righteous in his sight when they accepted him as their Savior. Woohoo! So I love going there because those women, they just receive the message that the Father has given me to deliver. Just receive it, soak it in, and their lives are transformed. And we handed out resources and books to them. They were hungry to know the truth of the gospel because Jesus said that he's anointed. And you know what? Jesus said, I am anointed to preach the good news. To heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, to turn your ashes into beauty, to turn your sorrow and mourning into joy, to turn your despair and depression into songs of praise by making you an oak of righteousness. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? If we're one with him, which we are, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, when we said yes to Jesus, we became one with him. We were married to the King of Kings. And everything he is, he gave us his righteousness. He gave us his holiness. He gave us his, he's without fault. He gave us his identity. We became Mrs. I Am. I'm telling you what, when you begin to walk in that identity, you no longer have your head down like this. You're walking with your head held high. I am important and special because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords laid his life down for me. Amen. And proved that I was worthy of love. Yeah. Yeah. You're someone special. You're someone important. Your value has come from the blood of Jesus that was shed for you. And when you begin to understand that, you walk with confidence and fearlessness in this world, and you tell everybody else how loved and wonderful and precious they are too. Because Jesus made us one. Jesus made us one. One with Him and one with each other. And when you understand that, all comparison ends. The only one we're comparing to is Jesus, and He said, you're equal with me. And I know people go, wait a minute, Connie. But if He gave us His righteousness, we don't have our own righteousness. We have His righteousness. And if we have His righteousness, is that less than His righteousness? No, it's equal to His righteousness. If He gave us His holiness, is it less than His holiness? No, it's His holiness. This is the gospel that I never heard. I grew up in church, never, ever, ever heard that I was without fault in the Father's eyes. But you know what? It's written in my Bible. It's written in your Bible. And for some reason, the veil was over my eyes, and I did not see. I thought I had to strive and struggle and try hard to be pleasing to God. I didn't know that Jesus died on the cross. And when I put my faith in Him, I became righteous and holy and without fault in the Father's eyes, and He was fully pleased with me. He delights in you. He delights in me. He's smiling over us. The Bible says He rejoices over us with singing. He doesn't even recall our past mistakes. He calms us with His love. I mean, do you understand how much you're loved? Thank you, Jesus is right. Woohoo! Okay, my message today. I love it. Okay, 15 minutes in. That's my introduction. Here we go. The title of my message, today is Rest in the Father's Yes. And you're never going to forget that phrase for the rest of your life. When you leave today and they say, what did Connie Woodard talk about? You're going to say, she talked about resting in the Father's yes. Okay? Yes. Woohoo! All right. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You right now. I thank You for this opportunity again to share the good news with Your daughters and with Your sons, Father. I thank You that this word is going to go deep into our hearts, that You are speaking powerfully this morning to each and every one of us. And with a resounding yes, with a resounding yes in Christ, You are speaking to us. Help us, Father, to say amen to everything You speak over us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. All right. Jesus is what the Father believes about you. The Father speaks to you through His Son. Jesus is the final word over your life. I'm going to read this to you. Your identity is found in Him. Jesus is what the Father believes about you. All right? If you are in Christ Jesus, okay, I'm going to just use this little piece of paper. If you're in Christ Jesus, then here you go. Look, who do you see? Who do you see? If this is Jesus, if this is you, and I just put you in Jesus, what do you see?
Jesus.
That's good. Jesus is the final word the Father has over your life. Everything that He is, that's what the Father sees when He looks at you. That was the gift that was given to you when you said yes to Jesus when He asked you to be His bride. Have you ever thought and pondered about how you are the bride of Christ? I taught a series this a few years ago called The Greatest Love Story Ever Told. It brought me in touch a deeper revelation, and I had been learning and growing about the love of the Father and the love of Jesus for a long, long time. But that study, caused that love of the understanding that I am the bride of the King of Kings. To ponder that, to understand that, just did something in my heart. Perfect love, you know what it does? It casts out all fear. Yeah. And when you really understand how much you're loved, fear is eliminated from your life. It doesn't mean that fear doesn't try to come at you. It doesn't mean that you're not tempted to be afraid at times, but you run to Jesus and you remember He loves you. And this is what He says about you. And this is what He's promised to you. And you're able to rest in the Father's yes over you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 1:1-3 says, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last days, He has spoken to us in the person of His Son. Did you hear that? In former times, He spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, He's speaking to us through His Son. Woo! Whom He has appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, by and through whom He created the world and the reaches of space and the ages of time. Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God. He is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. When He had, by offering Himself, accomplished our cleansing of all sins and riddance of all guilt, He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. And it was finished. Woo! Glory! He's speaking, the Father is speaking to us through the Son. And when Jesus died on the cross, He cleansed us of all our sin and rid us of all guilt. And then He sat down and He said, the work has been done. Because what held us captive in shame and fear from the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and took from them tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says immediately shame and fear entered into their soul. Before that, the Father had looked at them and said, you're good, so very good. I approve of you completely. You're good, so you're excellent in every way. These are three translations of the same scripture. Excellent in every way. The Father made Adam and Eve, looked at them, breathed life into them, and their identity was, you're good, so very good. I approve of you completely. You're excellent in every way. And then the Father said, don't go eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Basically, it's like, you have your identity in me. You have your life in me. If you go outside of me to try to find your life, you will surely die. And what happened, and the scripture says they had no shame. They believed the Father in that moment when the Father said, you're good, so very good. I approve of you completely. You're excellent in every way. The Bible says they were naked and had no shame. They were free from shame. And shame means this, a negative opinion of yourself. Yeah. Anytime you have a negative opinion of yourself, you're covered in shame. Anytime, another definition of shame is worrying about what other people think of you. Anytime you're worrying about what other people think of you, you're covered in shame. Another definition of shame is being conscious of your failures.
Wow, that's so good. That's good.
Yes, but Adam and Eve had no shame. They had no negative opinion of themselves.
Right.
They weren't worried about what the Father or what each other was thinking about them. They had no consciousness of guilt. They were free. That's what freedom looks like. Jesus set me free. Yes, Jesus set me free. Jesus set us free from having a negative opinion of ourselves. He set us free from worrying about what other people think of us. He set us free from consciousness of our failures by making us righteous and without fault in His sight. That's what redemption is all about.
Amen.
Because when Adam and Eve went outside of the Father to find their identity, they were covered in shame.
Right.
And with shame came fear. The Bible says they were covered in shame, and then they hid from the Father because they were afraid. And Jesus came to restore us, to redeem us, to rescue us, to bring us back to that identity that the Father gave at the beginning of time. So that when he looks at you, he says, you're excellent in every way. You're good, so very good, and I approve of you completely, not because of what you've done, but because of my Son. When he cleansed, when he was the sacrifice to take away all the consciousness of our guilt and shame so that we could live free in the Father's love, so that we could know how much our Father loved us.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Wow. So many years of my Christian life, I struggled and, you know, strived to get for the approval of the Father. 20 years I struggled with the to-do list, the do-do list of what I needed to do to get God to bless me, to get God to be pleased with me. You know, love God more, read your Bible more, go to church more. I mean, the list was so long I couldn't keep it all. Neither can you. And the more you hear it, the more you feel like you can't do it. And instead of finding rest, we are in unrest. Our whole Christian lives, because we're believing the lies of the enemy that you don't measure up. You're not good enough. You see her over there? She's a much better mother than you are. And we have this consciousness of guilt and this consciousness of failure. When Jesus died and shed his blood to rid us of all guilt by forgiving all our sins. So that we stand before the Father clean and pure and holy. And the reason why it's such amazing grace and such amazing love is we all have failed. We've all made mistakes. We have, you know, just in our own selves, we are going to feel guilty. We are going to feel shame. But when we take on the identity that Jesus bought and paid for us to have, when we say, yes, Father, you say I'm righteous. I say, yes, I'm righteous. You say I'm holy. I say, yes, I'm holy. When we start taking on that kind of identity, we rest in the Father's yes. Thank you, Jesus. Now, it is finished, Jesus said on the cross. Didn't he say it is finished? And when I was growing up, I heard that Jesus died for my sins. I did. But for some reason, I didn't understand what that meant because I was still conscious of my failures. Can you relate to that?
Yes.
And the scripture we just read said, when we're forgiven of our sins, guilt is gone. There's no more guilt. There's no more shame. Okay, now listen to this. I love this. The question is, when Jesus said, it is finished, what did he mean? What did he mean by that? What did he accomplish before he sat down to rest next to the Father? It's so interesting. I got to tell you this. Okay, so when the Father created man, and he looked at man and he said, you're so good, so very good. I approve of you completely. You're excellent every way. The very next verse said, God rested. We were his dream. We were what he created the whole world for. He put the stars in the sky, ocean, animals in there. Oh, how we love to look at the ocean. How we love looking at the stars. How we love seeing the animals and God's creation. How much peace that brings us. You understand what I'm saying. The Father made that for you.
Amen.
He made it for us. He said, oh, my sons, they're going to love these stars. Oh, my daughters, they're going to love putting their feet in the sand. Oh, they're going to love seeing these animals that I've created just for their enjoyment. He made it all for us. Just like a loving father, a loving mother prepares a place for the child that's coming into their home. The Father prepared the whole world for our enjoyment. And when he created man, he said, I am completely satisfied. My work is done. I'm sitting down to rest.
Amen.
And then when man took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and was covered with shame and fear, he sent his son to redeem man, to forgive all of man's sins by the offering of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus, to bring man back to his true identity. And when Jesus had done it, what did Jesus do? He sat down next to the Father and said, "It is finished. We are completely satisfied, Father." And the scripture says the Father will never be angry at you, never punish you. Isaiah 54, 9 and 10. He says, as I swore never to cover the waters of the earth again, I swear I will never be angry or punish you. My covenant of peace and loving kindness will never depart from you. The Father has peace with us. He wants us to have peace with him. When Jesus was born, what did the angels declare? Peace and goodwill toward men. Woo! 1 Corinthians 5, it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting man's sins against them, but canceling them. And he has given us, we are ministers of reconciliation. He has given us the mission of going out and telling people, come back to God. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He loves you. Come back to God. He's not holding anything against you. And receive the gift of righteousness that he offers you so that you can live free from the condemnation and the shame that sin brought on mankind. That's the redemption story. It's the gospel story. That all, the scripture says, all who receive the gift of righteousness and his overflowing grace will reign in life as a king through this man, Jesus Christ. We're not going to be underneath guilt, underneath shame, underneath fear, underneath circumstances. We're going to reign. We're going to say what our Father says. Woohoo! We're going to rest in our Father's yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So what happened? What does it mean? When Jesus said it, is it finished? Have I explained that good enough to you? Well, I'm going to keep saying it. So Hebrews 10, listen to this. It can't get any clearer than this. Hebrews 10, 10. And in accordance with this will of God, we have been made holy through the offering that was made once and for all of the body of Jesus Christ. Verse 11. Furthermore, every human priest stands at his altar of service, ministering daily, offering the same sacrifices over and over again, which are never able to strip from every side of us the sins that envelop us and take them away. Whereas this one Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins, for all time, he sat down at the right hand of God. Then to wait until his enemies were made a stool beneath his feet. Verse 14, for by a single offering, he has forever completely cleansed and made perfect those who are made holy. What did Jesus mean when he said it is finished? What did his offering of his body accomplish? It made us holy and righteous and perfect forever by one sacrifice. He made you perfect for how long? Forever. So that means you can never be imperfect again. That means there's nothing wrong with you. That means when the enemy comes at you and says there's something desperately wrong with you, you can say, oh, no, no, no. I'm resting in my Father's yes. My Father says, yes, I am holy, and yes, I am righteous, and yes, I am without fault in His sight because of Jesus. I'm resting today in what my Father says about me. Woo! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Father. Listen to this. So good. Colossians 1. 22 through 24. I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. Is that the best news you ever heard in your life? Okay, this is the NIV, verse 22. To present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from all accusation. Yes. Verse 23. But you must continue to believe this truth. Yes. And stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard this good news. What's this good news? You've been reconciled to the Father. You have been made holy and blameless, without fault, and free from all accusation. This is the good news that this word is talking about. And it says, don't drift away from it. When you hear it, grab hold of it. Don't ever let the devil accuse you one more day in your life. Thank you, Jesus. This good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed by God to proclaim it. And I, Connie Witter, have been appointed by God to proclaim it, to bring people out of their shame and their guilt and their fear and set them on a rock to stand, because our Father loves us. Our Father sees us as righteous and holy, not because of what we've done. And that's what we got to get a hold of. How can I be without fault? Don't you understand what I've done wrong? That has nothing to do with the gift of righteousness. That's why it's a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. Jesus loved you so much. The Father loved you so much that He wanted to give you this as a gift so you could stand free from shame and fear for the rest of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Resting in the Father's yes. Woo! Romans 4, 24 through 25. I just really want you to, you know I'm saying? Scriptures. If you don't believe the scriptures, I got nothing else for you. If you won't believe what God's word says, I got nothing else. You know, I stand up here sometimes, I'm like, I went to church for 20 years and didn't understand what I'm telling you right now. And now today when I come, some people have never heard this. I have people come up all the time and tell me, Connie, I've never heard what you just preached. And this is what I tell people. This is not my doctrine. It's not my opinion. It's not my theology. It is written in the very word of God. And you get to decide. Are you going to believe what the Father says about you, or are you not? Woohoo! Are you going to live free in this world and walk in the finished work that Jesus bought and paid for you to walk in? Are you going to hold on to your guilt and your shame and your consciousness of sin and your negative opinion of yourself and worrying about what everybody else thinks? Because you can if you want to. Or you can be free. You can rest in the Father's yes. You can live free out from underneath all that guilt and shame that the church has lived under for so long. And the very gospel of Jesus Christ, the very good news of the gospel, is that we have been forgiven of all our sins, made righteous and holy in Christ Jesus. The Father looks at us and He is well pleased. Romans 4:24-25. But they were written for our sakes to righteousness will be granted and credited to us who believe, trust in, adhere to, rely on God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. For he was betrayed and put to death for our misdeeds and raised up to secure our righteousness and justification, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. Jesus died to forgive us of all our sin, to free us from all guilt and shame. And he rose again to make us righteous, holy, without fault in the Father's presence. And that's what I didn't get. See, if my identity, if your identity is that you're without fault in the Father's eyes, that you've been made righteous and holy in the Father's eyes, your identity doesn't change when you make a mistake tomorrow or at the next hour. Your identity remains the same. This is a gift that will not be taken from you. You put your faith in Christ Jesus and you have been given the robe of righteousness, the garment of salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord my God, for he has clothed me in the garment of salvation. He has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom adorns his bride. You are the bride of Christ. Yes. And when he looks at you, he says this, how beautiful you are, my beloved. Amen. There is no flaw in you. Another translation says, there is nothing at all wrong with you. Right. And all he wants us to do is say, yes, Jesus. Amen. Yes. That's all he's ever wanted. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that? That's all the Father has ever wanted from all of his children is to believe him. Amen. If Adam and Eve would have believed him when he said, you're made in my image, you're just like me. You're good, so very good. I approve of you completely. You're excellent in every way. They would have had no need to go anywhere else because the enemy came and said, can you really trust what God says? Can you really believe? I don't think so. There's something lacking in you. If you really want to be like God, you need to go do this. And that's the same thing he does to all of us still. The Apostle Paul said, I fear as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, that he would corrupt your mind from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. How did he corrupt Eve's mind? By telling her she wasn't good enough. By telling her if she really wanted to be like God, she needed to go do something. She was already like God. The scripture said she was made in the very image of God. And that's what the enemy is still doing. Accusations, telling us we're not good enough. Telling us we're going to have to pay for our mistakes. Telling us we're never going to get out from. But you know what our Jesus says? He takes our ashes. That means the mistakes we've made. All the messes we've made in our life. Or somebody else did, and he turns it into beauty. Amen. That's what our Jesus does. He doesn't make us wallow and you have to pay for your sins. No, he takes it and he turns your life into something so beautiful. He wants us to rest in his yes, free from accusation. I love this scripture. Listen, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Who is the Father speaking to us through? His Son. And what is he saying to us through his Son? Yes to all of his promises. Yes. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes, in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen. You know what that means? That means that the Father is saying yes to all of us. He's saying yes. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, He's saying, yes, you are my beautiful bride. Yes, you are righteous in my sight. Yes, my plan is to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. Yes, your children are mighty and blessed upon the earth. Yes, everything works together for your good. Yes, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Yes, you are without fault. You are shameless. You are flawless. You are holy. Yes, 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 yes. You are healed by the stripes of Jesus. Yes. Yes. You know that message you heard? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. And sometimes he says wait. I think that's it. When it comes to his promises, his answer is always. Yes. Let me hear you say it. Yes. Yes. We have a daddy who always says yes. If he's promised it, then his answer is. Yes. What did he say? What did he say? That's what we have to know. Amen. I'm telling you what, when I discovered this now for many years, there's conditions to God's promises, you know. You got to keep the condition in order for God to keep the other side of that condition. And so I tried so hard to keep my side. But guess what I did? And guess what you do? We fail. You never keep the condition, so give it up. Just give it up, because that means you're trying in your own effort and you're never going to rest. You're never going to rest in the Father's yes if you think you have to meet the condition for his promise, because the only condition he's given to you is to believe him. That's it. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. And so the amen, which means yes, is spoken by us to the glory of God. And one of the definitions of glory of God is to the manifestation of all that God is and all that he has. So it's like this. Let's take salvation, for example. God has said yes to the whole world. Do you know he's the savior for the whole world? You know what the scripture says? He's the savior of the whole world. Is everybody saved? No. Why? Because they haven't said amen. Because they haven't said yes to the yes of the Father. They're not resting in the Father's yes. And it's true for every promise in the Bible. If you hear a promise, let me give one. God will give his angels charge over you to protect you in all your ways. And some people don't believe that. They think, you know, they're scared and afraid. God's not going to protect them. Are they saying yes to the Father's yes? Are they resting in the Father's yes? Are they? No. If you're still worried and fearful, fretful, and scared that you're going to, something bad and terrible is going to happen to you, then you're not resting. And the Father said, I have given my angels charge over you to protect you in all your ways. I'm telling you what, I used to be afraid of so much. I used to be insecure of so much. And then I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the secret. You want to hear it? First of all, the secret is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the secret of the gospel. That's what it says. The mystery of the gospel, the secret is this. Christ lives in you. That's the hope of you experiencing the glory of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the protection of God, the provision of God, the salvation of God, every promise that God has made. Christ in you, the hope of you experiencing his glory. You saying yes to him. And when we don't say yes, we live in unrest. When we don't, oh, it's 10:02. Wow. The time goes by so fast, doesn't it? But I'm not done. Thank you, Father. I'm going to tell you one of my most recent, opportunities to get out of rest. A few weeks ago before I came to Illinois, my daughter, she's 17. And she was going on a float trip with a group of girls from her school. And the teacher had sent all the mamas a list of things they needed to get for their daughter to be safe on this float trip. And one of them included water shoes. Because when you go on a float trip, you're in shallow water and you fall out and you need to protect your feet. So this was Saturday. And I waited till the last minute to get this list, okay? And then not only did I wait till the last minute, I mean, wait a minute, this was Friday. She was going on the water ship on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. And I had this list of things I needed to go make sure she had. And so Friday came, and I had a party or fellowship happening at my house that evening. And so I wasted my whole day. I just wasted my day. Okay, just there you go. Wasted my day. Doing nothing. And about an hour before everybody was supposed to arrive at my house, I thought, I'm going to run up to Walmart and get those water shoes and a couple other things that Victoria needs for her float trip. So I run up to Walmart, and I run back to the, because I wasn't, you know, I was in a hurry. I need to get back home. So I walked quickly up to the water shoe department. And I looked at the water shoe department, and it was all these water shoes except for the size my daughter needed. And the thought that came to me, now this is accusation, and I know you're going to be able to relate, maybe a different situation, but you're going to be able to relate. All the good mothers. All the good mothers already came and bought up all the water shoes for their daughters. You're a terrible mother. If you would not have waited till the last minute, you would have had time to go to the other Walmart store to see if the good mothers had went there too. So I sat there, I'm serious, because I was just like, I got to get water shoes for my baby. I got to get water shoes for my baby, right? That's what a good mother does. But the enemy came with his accusations in that moment and started telling me that I wasn't a good mother. If I was a good mother, I would have made sure of that, that happened. So I'm sitting there in front of the water shoes, and I'm like, oh, man. This is how I was going. I thought, oh, gosh, you know, what am I going to do? I walk out of the store. I go, and I sit down in my car. Now, I know. I mean, I've walked in this living love, living free for a long, long time. I know when those negative feelings and those negative emotions come over me, I need to say one thing. Help me, Jesus. Because he didn't come and die on the cross for me to live under the guilt that I'm not a good mom. Or the shame of me not wasting my day. So I sat down in my driver's seat of my car and I said, help me, Jesus. I said, the evidence is stacked against me. Can you feel my pain? The painful emotion of guilt for consciousness of your failures? That's shame. And I'm sitting under it. And I just sat there and said, Jesus, remind me again how you see me. Father, help me. Help me again to hear your voice of what you see when you look at me. I need to hear it again today, Father. Whew. And I sat in that seat and I heard the Father say, Connie, you're without fault in my sight. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a good mom. And I got this for you. I was like, oh my gosh, you got this. I don't know how you got this, but you got this. And I went from unrest to rest in my Father's yes. And a smile came up on my face as I just began to say, thank you, Father. See, he said, yes, Connie, you're without fault in my sight. You're a good mom, Connie. I see no fault in you, Connie. He was saying yes. Yeah. Do you hear me? Yeah. Yes. Now I'm sitting in the seat and I get to decide. Am I going to stay in this unrest? Am I going to stay in this feeling of shame? Or am I going to say, thank you, Father. If you say there's no fault in me, then there's no fault in me. If you say I'm a good mom, I'm a good mom. And peace came over me. And a smile came up on my face. And I drove home that day and I started to laugh because the enemy had lost one more time. Amen. He ain't keeping this mama down. So I drive home, and when I get there, about 10 minutes later, people start coming to my house, and I shared with them that story, and they all loved it. They were like, oh my gosh, Connor, I've had that happen to me. Not that particular situation, but feeling the accusations of the enemy come and saying, you're not good, you should have did it this way, you messed up. And they were all laughing with me. We were all laughing at this situation that 30 minutes before had put me underneath oppression, you know? And we were all laughing. That's what Jesus does. He sets you free. When you rest in the Father's yes, that freedom comes. And so anyway, I told him, I said, I don't know how my baby's going to get water shoes. But Father said he got it, so I'm not going to worry about it. So anyhow, about 10:30 that night, my daughter Victoria calls me. And I told her, I said, Victoria, I went to the store to get the list. And I said, but all the good mothers came and got the water shoes before I got to them. And I was kidding by that time. That time I was just joking, you know. And she says to me, Mom, you're a good mom. She said, I'll just go by Target on my way home and I'll pick up some water shoes. I said, awesome, Victoria, that's great. So I thought, oh, there we go. She's going to get her water shoes. So she went by Target. She comes home. She walks in the door and I'm thinking, oh, all my problems are solved. And I said, did you get your water shoes? And she said, no, Mom, they were all sold out. All the good mothers went to Target too. So anyways, I was like, Father, okay, you said you got this. You said there's no fault in me. You said, I'm a good mom. I believe you. I had to say it again right there. I had to say amen to the yes again right there in that moment, because the enemy will come again. So anyhow, about an hour later, all my friends left. And I thought to myself, I need to go upstairs, make sure Victoria's got her bag packed for this water float trip tomorrow. So I went upstairs. I walked into her room. And there on the floor was a pair of water shoes. I looked at Victoria and I said, Victoria, where did these water shoes come from? And she said, I went into sister's room and they were laying on her floor in the closet. And I was like, oh my goodness. I bought those water shoes 3 years ago. I'm a really good mom. I beat all the other moms. I said, thank you, Jesus. You knew when I was wasting my day. You knew when I went in there. You knew the water shoes were already bought and paid for. Just like my sins are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. I've been redeemed from shame and condemnation. I can walk with my head held high because my Jesus has set me free. He set you free. No more accusations. No more accusations. You beautiful, beautiful brides of Christ, daughters of God, don't let the enemy accuse you anymore. You can rest in the Father's yes. I'm going to tell you one more story and then I'm going to be done. Has to do with my Victoria again. Is any of your children ever put you in unrest? I think everybody's hands needs to be in the air. My daughter, she was dealing with something at school. She's 17, you know. Have you all been a 17-year-old before? And went to high school with all the drama the teenage girls do? Oh, Jesus, help us. They just need to know how much they're loved, don't they? So she was dealing with some of that. And I was ministering to her. We were driving home in the car. And she was not in a state of mind to receive what Mama had to say that day. Yeah, Mom, you think I'm wonderful. You think I'm great. Jesus thinks I'm wonderful. Jesus thinks I'm great, but they don't. Isn't that how we do? And we put more value on a person and what they think of us rather than the value of what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords thinks of us. And so anyhow, she wasn't listening to me. I could tell by her state of mind that she wasn't welcoming what I had to say. So the Father was saying yes, and Victoria was saying no. And she was not finding rest, because you don't find rest when you don't rest in the Father's yes. All you find is turmoil, pain, guilt, and shame, and depression. That's what you get. I mean, that is what that produces, is it not?
Yeah.
So anyhow, I watched my sweet 17-year-old girl walk up into the house because I dropped her off. I had someplace else to go. And my heart was troubled. I felt a little unrest in my heart. And as I watched her walk up, guess what I said? Help me, Jesus. It's the secret. It's all you got to do when you start feeling that shame or that fear or that concern or that worry. Help me, Jesus. Tell me again what you say, Father. Help me to rest in your yes. And so the Father began to minister to me right there, and he said to me, Connie, I began a good work in Victoria, and I will complete it. You can be absolutely sure that I will complete the good work that I started in her. And as I sat there in my car for just a moment, I was like, Father, explain that to me a little bit more. Help me to understand, because I'd heard that scripture all my life. I liked that scripture. I found peace in that scripture. But today, I need a little deeper revelation, that scripture. And the Father began to speak to me, and he said, Connie, I made Victoria holy and righteous and without fault, approved and accepted, and I proved her value in Jesus. That work is finished. But the work that I'm continuing to do in her is to bring her soul into agreement with what I've done for her in Christ Jesus. Will you trust me? Woo. I say, yes, Father. You began a good work in my Victoria. You made her righteous, holy, accepted, approved. And you are the one that brings her soul, that persuades her heart. He said he would teach Victoria, and Victoria would have great peace. Now, I can either stay in unrest and be unsure about what he says, or I can say, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, to rest in the Father's yes. Thank you, Father. I went down the street again. I drove down the street with a smile on my face because I had my eyes on Jesus, had taken all the work off myself because I can't change her heart. I can't convince her heart. I could talk to her until I was blue in the face, and she still would say, I'm not sure about that. But when you put your trust in Jesus, his grace is sufficient. His grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in our lives. His grace persuades our heart that we are loved, that we are without fault, that we are righteous, and it reflects in our lives. And so I just sat there. I just thought, Father, thank you. I'm resting in your yes today. I'm resting in your yes over my baby. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We can rest in the Father's yes. In Hebrews chapter 4, and I didn't get to it. It's okay. You can read it for yourself. I'm going to tell you what it says. Hebrews chapter 4, it says, the Father has prepared a place of rest for all of us. And that place of rest, let me give you the definition of it so you can really understand. This place of rest means tranquility of the soul, a disposition that's free from stress. Write that down if you're taking notes. When you're resting in the Father's yes, you're free from stress. Do y'all know what stress feels like? When you're resting in the Father's yes, he frees you from stress. Peace of mind. It means to be free from anything that tires, troubles, or disturbs you. It means to be free from care, worry, fear, and anxiety. This is what rest means, okay? It means to rely upon someone in whom you know will take care of that which concerns you. Hebrews chapter 4 says, the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today. The good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did not do them any good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe enter into his rest. Verse 7, this is Hebrews 4. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. Yes. Today is the time to rest in the Father's yes. Oh, this is so good. Is it not good? In the words already quoted, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't push what the Father says away. Don't question it. Don't analyze it. Don't think about all the other experiences in the world and go, I'm not sure about what the Father says. Don't harden your heart. Say yes to the Father's rest. Say yes to what the Father speaks over you. Amen? If Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a rest waiting for the people of God. For he who has entered God's rest has ceased from the weariness and pain of human effort. Just as God rested when he created the world. When we enter God's rest, we cease from our own human effort to make ourselves righteous, our own effort to fix our children, to fix our problems, our own effort to create Ishmaels. You know, that's what happened. The Father gave a promise, and Abraham said, well, it's not happening. So his wife said, let's come up with a plan to make God's promise come to pass. So let's get in our flesh and our effort. And what did he create? Ishmael. When Father's plan all along was Isaac. How did Isaac come? Simply by God's promise. No human effort. Isn't that good? Thank you, Jesus. We enter into his rest. We enter into his rest when we say yes to the Father's yes over us. In Christ Jesus. When we cease from our human effort and human energy to try to make us something that we already are. We're already qualified. Righteousness made you qualified for all of God's promises. You're already qualified. You don't have to qualify yourself. I cannot tell you the joy that came in my soul the day I understood. It's because of Jesus. I tried so hard to get God to bless me. I tried so hard to make my marriage good. I tried so hard to be as good as that mama is. I tried so hard. And then the Father said to me one day when I called out to him, Father, why do I have no peace? Why am I feeling this turmoil in my soul? And he says to me, Connie, you're trying to be somebody you already are. I already made you good enough. I already made you righteous and holy. I already made you without fault, perfect in every way. And all I want you to do is say yes to me and what I say over you. I tell you what, I jumped off of that chair that day, and I did a Holy Ghost dance through my house. The Father said to me, it's because of Jesus, Connie, that you can rest. And if you'll just say yes to everything I speak over you in Christ Jesus, I will bring out the fruit in your life. All of a sudden, I understood what it meant to abide in Jesus. Abide in Jesus, and you will bear much abundant fruit. What does that mean? Because of Jesus, I'm blessed. Because of Jesus, I'm righteous. Because of Jesus, I'm holy. Because of Jesus, I'm without fault. Because of Jesus, the Father's going to work in my baby. Amen. Teach my baby and give her great peace. Not because I was a great mom. Not because I did everything right. Not because I sat down and did Bible stories for hours each day and taught her the Bible. It's not because of any of that. It's because of Jesus, that I can rest. And when the accusations come at me, I can say, you shut your mouth. Because my Bible says the accusations against me have been nailed to the cross. In Colossians, it says, don't let anybody condemn you. Don't let anybody judge you unworthy or unqualified for the prize. Because the accusations against you have been nailed to the cross. You are qualified. You are blessed. You can rest in the Father's. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Oh, how good you are, Father, to love us so much, to want to free us from the shame and the fear that our mistakes bring. You just wrapped us up in your love, wrapped us up in your righteousness, made us without fault in your eyes, so that we could truly rest in your yes. Help us, Jesus. Hebrews 4, you say that when we're tempted to get into unrest, when we're tempted to be afraid, when we're tempted to believe the lies that the enemy throws at us, you tell us, Father, to come boldly to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you, Father, that we don't even have to try to rest. You will empower us as we look to you, as we trust you. You will do the work in us and bring us to a place of rest. You will make us lie down in green pastures. You will lead us beside peaceful waters. You will restore our soul because you love us that much.